From WTIP News, this is the North Shore Weekend News Roundup. I'm Jay Anderson, and here are some of the stories we've been following this week. The U.S. Coast Guard's 240-foot-long ship Mackinac is busy breaking ice in the Twin Ports in preparation for the upcoming shipping season. The huge ship is the largest U.S. icebreaker on the Great Lakes. Commander Mike DeVanzo says 10 officers and 46 enlisted members serve on the Mackinac. The Duluth News Tribune says most of the ice the Mackinac ran into in the Twin Ports this past weekend was about 20 inches thick. The $800 million ship can easily move through 32-inch ice at a steady pace and ram its way through ice ridges of up to 10 feet thick. And the 2013 shipping season got underway in the Twin Ports when the 1,000-foot Laker Mesabi Miner made the first departure of the season. The miner began loading coal on Tuesday at the Midwest Energy Terminal in Superior. It then moved to the port terminal to load and install a drive motor for its conveyor system before making a Lake Superior delivery to Marquette, Michigan. The miner will return to Duluth this weekend to load iron ore at the CN dock and then head to Indiana Harbor on Lake Michigan. The Canadian-flagged CSL Tadoussac also is set to head to Duluth this weekend from winter layup in Thunder Bay to load iron ore pellets. Winners in the 2012 Minnesota Associated Press Broadcasters News Contest have been announced. WTIP is in a class with more than one and less than three in the news department. The station took first in the feature category for Behind the Work, Joshua Lindstrom of Fika Coffee by Kara Thomas. Honorable mention also went to WTIP for Moments in Time, The Beaver House, also by Kara Thomas, as well as Anishinaabe photographer Travis Nowitzki by Stacey Druyart. In the series and special category, first place went to WTIP's Lake Superior Project by Kelly Schoenfelder and Barbara Jean Myers. For the documentary investigative category, WTIP received honorable mention for History Speaks, Isle Royale National Park, also by Kelly Schoenfelder and Barbara Jean Myers. The writing first place award went to WTIP commentator Fred Smith for his Wilder Smith on the Gunflint for September 21, 2012, about leafer peepers and the changing season on the trail. Northeastern Minnesota's most rural county is also the region's healthiest. The Duluth News Tribune reports Cook County ranks among the top 30 in the state in the two major areas evaluated in the fourth annual County Health Rankings that was released Wednesday of this week by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation and University of Wisconsin Population Health Institute. Out of 87 counties, Cook County ranked 29th in health outcomes. That's up from 42nd place last year. The health outcomes category considers premature deaths, low birth weight, and similar data. Cook County ranked 23rd in health factors, which includes a wide array of measures ranging from adult obesity to sexually transmitted infections to the violent crime rate. St. Louis, Lake, and Cook counties have ranked relatively low in all 4 years of the county health rankings. And although Cook County falls well below some of the counties in the suburban Twin Cities and most of those in southeastern Minnesota, it stands out in the region. Earlier this week, I spoke to Joe Buttweiler of Arrowhead Electric Cooperative about fiber optic progress and what lies ahead this spring and summer. To date, Arrowhead's constructed over 385 miles of fiber optic cable. And Joe Buttweiler joins us to talk about what's up next. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Jay.
And what is up next? That's a lot of fiber optic, but how are you doing with the weather and all that? Is that holding you back?
Well, the weather is holding us back a little bit. We were hoping we would have a spring like we did last year and we could start construction in early March, but that hasn't happened. We do have a little bit of spring fever, though, and we do have our first construction crew rolling into Cook County this week. And they're going to start work in the city of Grand Marais this week. We'll have a person splicing fiber optic cable up on the poles, and we'll have a crew running the fiber optic drop cables, which is the line that runs from the road or the alleyway to the home, mm-hmm. and starting to do those installs. So we're pretty excited about that.
Well, what about all the snow?
Well, the snow is a bit problematic, but that's why we're having them work in Grand Marais, as we have lots of plowed roads and alleyways, and the distance the construction crews need to tromp through the snow is a lot less within the city limits than it is out in the rural parts of Cook County, of course. So we're hoping that their production numbers will be higher in the city than they would elsewhere in Cook County.
Well, the next thing you're going to face is mud, as you probably know. I don't know whether that's as debilitating as snow or not.
You know, the mud isn't debilitating, but it does prevent us from really getting a lot of production, because when the equipment goes through, of course, it can leave tracks and it can damage county roads. And so we work real closely with Cook County and the Highway Department, and we want to maintain a good relationship with them. And of course, we don't want to damage any of the roads that we're all driving on every day, and driveways for that matter. So we just have to, it's kind of a cat and mouse game where we need our contractor to be ready to go and have an army of construction workers and equipment. But at the same time, we can't give them a firm start date because of the weather.
By your best estimate, where will we be by fall?
By fall of this year, we would hope that if we do get spring to come, we would have a vast majority of all construction completed. That includes the drops to the homes everywhere in Cook County. We would hope that we would have our backhaul. That's the line down to Duluth that we're so patiently waiting for. And in fact, that does have a little bit of progress. There is a light at the end of the tunnel with that line, which is real good news. There's no dates as to when it's going to happen yet.
What do I need to do if I haven't signed up?
If you haven't signed up, call our office, 663-7239. We're happy to get you on the list. If we've already constructed an area where you own property, we'll still work with you. Where you'll be at the end of the project, we'll come through and make one last sweep through Cook County, but you'll still get service.
Describe what it is that people need to have for you.
Sure. Well, in addition to calling our office, you could go onto our website and download a form, and it just gives us name, property address, phone numbers, and then we're asking for some information specific to your property, that you provide us a little sketch of your property that shows where your driveway is, where your well is, if you know how any private power lines or phone lines or septic lines are run, just to help our contractor identify anything so we can cause, you know, the least impact on people's property as possible.
What am I going to get?
We're committed to high-speed internet. And that's higher speed internet than anything that's available in Cook County today or the foreseeable future by anyone else. Traditional landline phone service and high definition TV service, cable TV service. Those will be the first three products that we offer. And, you know, after that and after those services are up and running, I'm sure we'll look to add more value to the fiber optic network in Cook County as we see fit and as members and residents in Cook County ask us to.
So, of course, the inevitable question is, how close are we to finding out what this is going to cost?
We're pretty close. I admit we're holding things kind of close to our chest, but that's really it's this TV service. We're really trying to pin that down, and we understand what the prices are in Cook County today, and as a cooperative, we're looking to provide a service that's better, if you will, than services available in Cook County today, and we need to be competitive with the existing services. So, you know, we're going to provide a good value service to everyone. In the future, we'll be sending out another mailing that talks about how you can actually sign up for the services.
Okay. What do I have to do at my home? I mean, the drop line is there, but it's got to go someplace, right? I mean, so there's a box or something that...
So and that box that goes on the outside of your home has some restrictions as to where it can be placed because of some electrical requirements. But we'll work with you on that, and if you could indicate that on your site sketch if you haven't sent that in already. But then the mailing that we send out in the future to property owners will have information as to how we'll wire the inside of your home and the options available to you and how we'll schedule that installation inside the home with you.
Good luck with the weather.
Thanks. Thanks, spring.
You've been listening to the North Shore Weekend News Wrap-Up. To hear more from the WTIP News team and to check out the full versions of our stories, visit us at WTIP.org. For North Shore Community Radio, I'm Jay Anderson, wishing you a great weekend.